Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
From the Society for Nautical Research, in partnership with Lloyd's Register Foundation, I'm Sam Willis, and this is the Mariner's Mirror podcast, the world's number one podcast dedicated to all of maritime history. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mariner's Mirror podcast as we continue with several episodes that are a dramatic recreation of testimonies given at the British Titanic Inquiry. This has all been made possible by the fantastic Titanic Inquiry Project. You can find it at titanicinquiry.org, where they've been slowly but relentlessly transcribing thousands of pages of testimony. So far, we've heard the evidence given by Lady Duff Gordon, one of only three women interviewed and the only female passenger interviewed by the wreck inquiry. The only other passenger interviewed was her husband. We've also heard from Charles Lightoller, the most senior of Titanic's officers to survive, the lovely Fred Barrett, stoker from Liverpool, and today, the fabulous Annie Robinson, another of those three women interviewed by the court. Annie Robinson, aged 47, was a first-class stewardess. She was born on the 27th of February 1865, daughter of Charles and Elizabeth Franklin. She was married, she had two daughters. Her husband had emigrated to the United States, but Annie maintained her address in England. Prior to serving aboard Titanic, Annie had been regularly employed on several steamers, including on Lake Champlain, when, bound for Montreal, it collided with an iceberg in dense fog on the 7th of May 1909, causing the vessel to divert to St. John's and land her passengers there. So poor old Annie had a bit of previous when it came to running into icebergs. She was asleep when Titanic collided with its iceberg. She woke, dressed, made her way towards the forward end of E deck, where she noticed water coming up within a couple of feet of the stairwell, which led down to the mailroom, two levels below. While she was below, she testified to seeing Captain Smith and Purser McElroy and Thomas Andrews enter this area as they performed their inspections of the damage. Andrews told her to put on her life jacket if she valued her life. With the responsibility of several children, she helped them evacuate the ship. All of them survived, and then she herself escaped in lifeboat number 11. In the years following her testimony at the Wreck Commissioner's Inquiry, Annie was uncomfortable speaking about the disaster. She was subsequently a stewardess aboard the Galatea in 1913 when King George V and Queen Mary came aboard as passengers. The King was particularly interested in her experiences and began asking questions about the disaster, but those questions made Annie very upset. Sadly, her life ended sometime between the 9th and the 10th of October 1914 when she jumped overboard whilst travelling on the Leyland liner Devonian en route to Boston, where she was supposedly going to visit with her daughter and family. It was said that the prior evening the vessel had sailed into heavy fog and began sounding her foghorn, which distressed Annie and caused her to jump overboard. Her disappearance was not noted until the morning of the 10th when she failed to appear at breakfast. It was not reported if her body was recovered. A sad tale indeed. Her testimony is fascinating, so let's now head to the Rec Commissioner's Court, Scottish Drill Hall, Buckingham Gate, Westminster, in May 1912, on the 11th day of the inquiry, where Annie Robinson has taken her seat and Raymond Asquith, a junior counsel for the Board of Trade and the son of the sitting Prime Minister, has risen to his feet.
You were a first-class stewardess on the Titanic, were you not?
Yes.
And at the time the ship struck the iceberg, I think you were in bed?
I was.
Did you get up and dress?
I did.
And did you afterwards go in the direction of the mail room?
Yes.
What deck were you on?
E-deck.
When you got to the top of the stairs which lead down to the mail room, what did you see?
I saw two mail bags and a man's Gladstone bag. And on looking down the staircase, I saw water within six steps of coming onto E-deck.
That would mean that it had gone up to the top of the mail room and into the compartment above that?
Certainly.
Are the stairs you are speaking of the ones by the side of the squash rackets court?
Yes.
Now, I would like to follow this. Now, I see the mail room on the plan.
I think I can point it out to you, my lord. That is the mail room, above that is the post office, and above that is the squash rackets court. It was at the stairs, there, that the water was seen. The witness says that the water came to within six steps of the top of those stairs.
About what time was this?
About half an hour after she struck.
After the collision?
After the collision, about half an hour.
Did you see that the captain and Mr. Andrews about this time?
The mailman passed along first, and he returned with Mr. McElroy. And the captain and they went in the direction of the mail room, but that was before.
It was seeing the captain and Mr. Andrews going to the mail room that made you go there?
I followed after they had come back.
Are we to understand that at this time the mail room was covered with water?
Yes, and not only the mail room, but the story immediately above it too. When you saw the water there, I suppose you realised that things were rather serious.
I did.
Did you go and look after your ladies?
I did.
How many ladies were under your charge?
Seven ladies and one maid and one governess.
Did you see the other stewardesses doing the same thing, looking after their passengers?
The stewardess on my deck was doing exactly the same thing.
Did you then go upstairs onto A deck?
I had to call a stewardess I had met on the boat on deck A.
Were you told by a steward there to put on your coat and lifebelt?
Mr. Andrews told me first.
Did Mr. Andrews tell you anything else?
Yes, Mr. Andrews told me to put on my lifebelt after I had been on E-deck.
Did he say something to you about blankets?
We had already got the blankets and the lifeboats out of the rooms, which were unoccupied, at the foot of the staircase. Mr. Andrews said to me, "Put your lifebelt on and walk about and let the passengers see you." I said to him, "Looks rather mean." And he said, "No, put it on." And then after that, he said to me, "Well, if you value your life, put your belt on."
Did you put your belt on and walk about in it?
I did.
Did he say anything to you about Mr. Ismay?
No, Mr. Ismay's name was never mentioned in my hearing.
So far as you know, were all the ladies on E-deck warned by the stewardesses whose business it was to look after them?
Yes, and they were all saved too.
You told us you were responsible for seven or eight ladies. Were they all saved?
They were.
Eventually, you were put into boat number 11?
Yes.
I will not ask you about what happened in the boat, but there is one thing I should have asked you about what happened before. Did you see the carpenter?
I did. He was the first man I saw. He came along when I was looking down at the water, and he had the lead line in his hand.
Had he taken a sounding, do you know?
I could not tell you.
Did he say anything to you?
No. The man looked absolutely bewildered, distracted. He did not speak.
You think he looked alarmed?
He certainly was.
When your boat left the ship, was the band still playing?
It was.
Can you remember at all what time it was when your boat left?
Well, I looked down at my watch when the ship went down, and it was 2:40. That was by altered time when we were in the boat, and I do not think we were in the boat for more than 3/4 of an hour.
You left about 3/4 of an hour before the ship went down?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a collision before?
Yes.
What ship was that? The Lake Champlain?
Yes.
Also an iceberg?
Yes.
So that you knew exactly what to do on this occasion?
Yes.
And you did it?
Yes.
When was it you were told to put on the lifebelt? You said that it was 3/4 of an hour after something.
I said it was 3/4 of an hour after I felt the shock of the collision.
Did the people get into the boat in an orderly way?
Yes.
Did you hear the band playing?
Yes.
Was it still playing when you left the ship?
Yes, it was. It was playing when I went up to A deck to call the other stewardess. And when I left the ship, it was still playing.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. It's been something of a mammoth task. I must thank all of the people who have made it possible. In particular, the hugely talented Kai White, who played Annie Robinson. Daniel Jameson was John Bigham, the Commissioner. Jamie White had a multitude of roles as Mr. Cotter, Mr. Finley and Mr. Asquith. None of this would have been possible or practical without those researchers who transcribed it all. Bob Bonnell, Earl Chapman, Mike Disabato, Vera John Gillespie, Linda Greaves, Jane Hilbert, Rob Otmers, Stuart Partridge, Marilyn Powell, Susie Powell, Park Stevenson, Bruce Trank and Bill Wormstead. Thank you all very much indeed. Now, please make sure you check out our fantastic YouTube channel where you can see a number of important animations concerning the Titanic, in particular a 3D animation based on the ship's original lines that's been seen over 1 million times, and also another video which looks specifically at Titanic safety equipment. Please subscribe. We'll be releasing more fabulous testimony soon. And do remember that the podcast comes from both the Society for Nautical Research and the Lloyd's Register Foundation. The Lloyd's Register Foundation have recently launched their fantastic project, Maritime Innovation in Miniature, filming the world's best ship models with the latest camera equipment. It's absolutely astonishing, and I would urge you all to check it out. You find it by Googling Maritime Innovation in Miniature. The Society for Nautical Research you can find at snr.org.uk, where I would urge you all to join up. They bring you the podcast. You, in return, can join the Society. It really doesn't cost very much. And all of the money goes towards helping preserve the maritime past and to tell as many people about the importance of maritime history as possible.